This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez
on 720 WGN.
Some people see the revolution, but most only see the girl. I can lose my heart and freedom if my fear defines my world. I declare my independence from the critics and the stones. I can find my revolution. I can learn to stand alone.
A White Sox win. What a great way to start our show. And great, of course, post-game coverage with Andy Mazur. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and you are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show, where we encourage you to call or text us anytime, 312-981-7200. Again, that number, 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls. Actually, I'll take your call. If Vivian says I should take your call. Vivian, I don't know what kind of screening process you have.
I'll take your calls, everybody.
Well, within reason. I mean, if they're mean to you, then if they're mean to you, I don't think that you should let them through.
So that's right. So if you're mean to me, I will not take your calls. But if you're nice to me, I will take your calls.
Do you have any, is salty language? I would imagine that's, you know that they can't go on the air.
Yeah.
But if there's something directed at you, because sometimes people call in hot and heavy. I mean, not in a tawdry way, but they are fired up for conversation. And you have to sort of go, okay, how do you want to approach this conversation on the air? What do you want to talk about? So
we actually have a call coming in
right
now.
There we go. The 815 is calling right now to see if they can be nice enough to get on the air.
Let's see.
I was driving down and I thought, as I crossed Michigan Avenue and I was looking over, the river was on my left-hand side, the north side. And it just occurred to me how much of a bounce people seem to have in their step. Andrea Darlis in the newsroom tonight.
Hey,
Andrea.
How you doing, Patty?
I'm good. Do you notice that? Like, even though, like, we haven't fully, every time we have this start and stop with spring.
Oh, I know.
Everyone's like, I'm all in. It's spring. I declare it spring.
Oh my God. It was so beautiful today. I had to be down here early for an interview, and then I just spent the entire morning being in the city. I was by the Bean, by the river.
So
it was
good.
Beautiful. I had lunch. It was I went to Daily Plaza. They had a DJ playing music. It was awesome. And then tonight, I ran out to Mariano's across the little walkway here, and it was freezing.
It's got chilly. Got a little chilly.
It dropped like 40 degrees.
Let's be honest, though, Andrea. On Sunday, when you were out with the news crew at WGN Television, and you captured an engagement, that was beautiful.
Oh, my God. That was so funny and so coincidental. We were doing, obviously, the weather became the top story, so Weekend Break went out the window. So we were doing snow patrol.
Right.
And we're driving all over, and then we were coming back to hand the story off to Marcella Raymond, and we're passing Wrigley, and I called the desk. I said, do you want us to do, because all these poor Cub fans had come in for the game. This family had come in from Iowa.
Sure.
I said, do you want us to do some, we call it MOS, you know, the man on the street where you just interview the people. It should be WOS.
I like MOS.
Yeah, it's the MOS.
Or POS, but that sounds wrong.
People on the street, yeah. That's the boss.
That doesn't sound right.
And as we're interviewing people, I started to do a stand-up, and my photographer, Kevin Cassidy, looked around the lens, and he said, look at that couple kissing. And they were so cute. They're under the scoreboard. They were kissing. And he got down on one knee, this guy, Clint Parkinson.
No way.
Yes. And I went, oh, my God. So I stepped out of the shot. I'm like, keep rolling, keep rolling, keep rolling. That went so viral. I got a call from a Yahoo Entertainment reporter who was interviewing the couple. And then they're going to interview us because we caught it on our cameras and made a story out of it.
That's outstanding.
That's awesome.
They were so cute.
Well, you caught not only a piece of Chicago history, right? One of the heaviest snowfalls we've had in 50 years, right? And for a game that was supposed to happen at Wrigley, you catch.
Yeah.
And their history. I mean, like, what a wonderful moment.
Yeah, and they were so cute. She's from Antioch, and then she lived in Chicago. She worked in Chicago. She went out to Denver for work. Met him, Clint. This is Clint and Chloe. And they came back to Chicago. He's from California, and they came to see the LA Angels play the Cubs on Sunday. He was going to propose, and it got canceled.
Oh, man. Well, there you go.
The game got canceled, but not the proposal.
That's right.
Yeah,
I had a bunch of fun with that. I'm like, this diamond was better than the one that would have been played.
Right.
And, yeah.
You know.
I know. But he's like, you know what? I don't care. I got to do it now. It was all, the plans were all set in motion.
Right.
Got to carry through. That was an incredible story.
Oh,
what a great eye.
So cute.
So cool. Yeah. The weather has been, it sort of defines their relationship. I want to see let's check and see what Mike has to say. Mike's on the line with us from the 815. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hey, I'm talking about White Sox.
Yeah, sure, if you want to.
I'm talking about Yo-Yo.
Yo-Yo!
Yo-Yo.
Are you excited?
I mean, come
on. That's a good win.
Is he exciting?
Yes.
And we didn't have to spend all that money for bachata.
That's right. No, that's the thing. You know what? That's what they've been talking about. It's all about building and go with the talent you have.
He's playing that third base. He was a second baseman last year. And yeah. He had 4 year last year as a rookie. But now this year, he's shining.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't have to spend all that money on Machado.
That's right. It's not always about the money. Well, it is an exciting season. And thank you, Mike. Have a great night. We've got to run to the news right now. Andrea is in the newsroom right now. And here she is with everything you need to know.
Oh, ho, ho, it's my.
Before you take off tonight, have you ever lived anywhere besides? I mean, you and I both went to the University of Illinois.
Yes.
Have you ever lived anywhere besides the state of Illinois?
No,
me neither.
Isn't it crazy?
We have a similar path, I think.
Yeah.
Just Chicago, 4 years in Champaign, Urbana.
Yes.
And so I don't. There's something about the weather. I know it can make the soul like I couldn't stop screaming on Sunday.
I hear you.
I was in my car on Sunday. Like no. I got out of my car. I was still screaming.
But, I know.
But there's something about it that makes you still feel grateful for days like today. Didn't you?
Absolutely. I mean, like I was saying, I was just walking around the city. And I sat there at one point in Millennium Park with all the tourists and the kids. And they're all taking pictures. It was a field trip. And I thought, God, I just love this city.
Yeah.
You know, despite the weather and the fact that there was literally a 30 degree swing from noon until right now.
I know.
It's 44 out right
it's
now.
A bit drastic.
That's why I play that song, by the way. It's magic, yeah. Right?
It is awesome, magic. Vivian.
It's one of those things where the last couple of days, because Chris Duffy, our one of you know our guy who does all the incredible sounds here that you can listen to at WGN Radio. He was basically had a picture that said "Die Winter," and it was this massive pile of snow that was slowly melting.
Yeah.
Now I have a question because although even though you live in Chicago, have never lived anywhere else, you do travel a lot.
Yeah.
And Vivian and you have both spent time in Greece.
Yes.
Oh, see, look at the sound of your voices. Oh,
high five, Andrea.
Oh, air five.
Air five.
It's so beautiful and warm.
So how do you, I mean, it's the kind of thing you like visiting, but would you want to live somewhere that was always that glorious?
Yes. I think, yeah. Okay, you know what? It's so funny because Vivian
Patty.
Is so young. Vivian's so much younger than I am. But, you know, because you guys are closer in age. Patty.
Yeah. I say that.
But no.
Guys, stop it.
When I was in my 20s, same thing. And even in my early 30s, I'm thinking, oh, I'm never going to live anywhere else. I'm going to live in Chicago my whole life. And I think I will. Uh-huh. But when I retire, I want to go somewhere warm and just. And if I get too hot, I'll go inside the air conditioning.
Honestly, like one of those cartoon characters where like they're just running and all you see is like all the dust.
Yeah. Yeah. I think now at this point in my life, you know, especially after Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could absolutely see, you know, being somewhere warm full time.
I couldn't stop being mad. I'm going to Los Angeles in 2 weeks.
Oh, cool. Oh, really? That's awesome.
I'm looking forward to it. And I was like, why did I wait 2 weeks?
Right?
I mean, why May? Yeah. This is the first winter that I haven't left Chicago in probably a decade. So that might. But, you know, I don't always get a chance to take my family with. Like, Steve does not want to travel somewhere that's like, he doesn't go to the beach. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No. He doesn't want to go somewhere that's hot. Or, mm-hmm. Yeah. No. He's not that kind of guy.
Is he a Chicago guy, too?
Evanston his whole life.
Okay, yeah. So, right. Mm-hmm. So, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Same weather. it's always when you're scraping off your car or, you know, you're shoveling your driveway.
Yep, that's where you feel.
That's always when you go, oh, why do I live in this weather? I'm from here. I grew up here.
I rarely ever take our minivan. We have a Honda Odyssey and it's got luggage racks on the top. So, if it snows, I rarely ever take that car. There were 5 inches on top of that. You can't leave that up there because it'll blow off on the cars behind you.
No.
So I had that telescoping, like, you know, scraper, but I don't use it. And I'm like just trying to shove it off.
Yeah.
Because I'm 5'6". My husband is 6'2". And I'm like, I'm like swearing the entire night.
Right.
That sucks.
How does he do this?
This sucks. I never want to do this again.
I know.
Yeah. I was crazy angry. And it also felt like, why should we shovel this or plow this? Because it's just going to going to be 50 degrees tomorrow. It's all going to melt anyway.
Oh, I know. And you know, I didn't right? shovel it. I thought, I am not lifting a finger on this one.
This snow does not deserve my respect.
That's right.
That's right.
And then it was all wet and slushy and sloppy. And today it's beautiful.
It was gorgeous today. I went for what? So you were downtown. I got to see the sights a little bit. I went for a walk with Griffin. And you know what he was doing? He was reading The Great Gatsby while we were walking. It's one thing to like be on your phone, but how do you chastise your teenager?
You can't.
No.
You can't.
Yeah. He goes, I didn't know Tom was a Nazi. So just like, these are the conversations.
You're like, I love you, honey.
I know. This is so cute. Well, now, Andrea, have we talked? We haven't had a chance to talk very much.
No, I know.
So just a couple more days.
Couple more days. Yeah, I'm leaving. Friday's my last day.
Well, you're leaving, but you're not gone, right?
Yeah, no, I'm not gone. I'll still be doing. I'll be doing the Monday night show.
Right? Yes, you are. Woohoo!
But here's the thing: yes. Because of White Sox baseball, which you know, go White Sox. There's only I think two shows in May, two shows in June. No, maybe one in June and two in July. So it's just we're preempted all the time.
As long as we have you.
Yeah, then. I'll still be around.
But it's not enough. And you are leaving us to be the director of constituent engagement at the University of Illinois?
At the University of Illinois.
That's incredible.
It's a fancy title.
That's awesome.
It's a great title.
You deserve it. Title.
Well deserved. Incredible.
It's great. It was just, it's a great offer. It's a great opportunity. It's for the University of Illinois, so I couldn't say no.
Yeah, but I could also see you like being, I'm looking at the AJ of you, like the, from West Wing.
Oh, yeah.
Of you being like director of communications, like first or like, you know, this, whatever you want to do. Yeah. I don't know. Have you ever,
Patty?
Yes.
Do you have an hour for the chancellor? The president needs to come on.
No, absolutely. Please, this microphone is yours anytime you want it. You want it for. Yeah, this is incredible. But you're so tied in with the history. I mean, you're like, hey, WGN Radio, like, what, 100 years? You're fifth of WGN Radio.
Oh, my God. That's right.
Yeah.
I've spent half my life here.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Did I make this weird?
No. She just realized.
No. And you know what? I had a weird moment on Sunday. Are you watching The Good Fight, by the way, Patty?
The Good Fight? I've watched, up to the third episode where they're having like the sort of cult thing about the resistance.
Right.
Yes.
So it's not, there's a sad part. Someone you think is leaving, but this person is not leaving. I don't want to give it away, but this person is leaving and they're kind of walking out of the office for the last time and, you know, was super strong up until this point. But I did read ahead, so this person's not leaving the show.
Okay.
But this particular character who I really, really like steps out of the office and just kind of looks around and I thought, oh my God, that's going to be me on Friday. And it just hit her and I had this moment, you know, in my life and I kind of got a little teary-eyed. I thought, oh my God. I've done the same, you know, in different buildings and we've been on different floors, but come to the same office now for over 20 years.
Right, with the same, so many of the same people.
Oh, I know,
Who have you been with? I mean, Dave Ennett, right, has been there the whole time you have?
Dave Ennett's been here the whole time.
Marlene.
Mary Vandeville. Yeah, Marlene. Yeah, she's been here for all of us.
Mary Vandeville.
Mary Vandeville, Dave Ennett, Judy Pilak, until she left just a couple of months ago. Kim Gordon, I've been with.
Wow.
About 12 years. Bertrand the whole time, but he's a curmudgeon. That doesn't count.
He really is cantankerous.
Oh, he so is. Yes. I love him, but he's just a huge grump.
He's such a contrarian.
Yeah, he is.
I don't even know
if he believes. That's a perfect word for him.
I don't even know if he believes what he's saying.
I know.
Except to just disagree with you.
I know. Seriously.
It keeps your mind going.
Yeah.
Okay, so Bertrand, and obviously you were with Steve Cochran for a long time.
Yeah, Steve Cochran for, I guess it would be, well, he was here and then he left and then he came back, so probably 10 years with Cochran.
And Spike O'Dell, you were on his show for 10 years.
Yeah, I was with Spike a long time, too.
This is crazy.
I know. It's bizarre. Now that when I don't talk about it and I don't think about it, it doesn't sink in. No, but I'm glad to be talking about it.
Okay, right.
Because it's just so surreal to be leaving an institution.
Do you have, I know that we talked about it when we had Spike on once.
Yes.
As far as some of your highlights. And so that's 10 years of your career here at WGN Radio. And I know when you sent your letter to all of us and talked about some of the things that you covered, you mentioned Oprah.
Yeah.
And 9/11 and obviously covering the campaigns, going to Iowa, going to New York and things like that. You have really covered so much and contributed so much to WGN Radio, to our listeners, to the community. It's
Thank you.
It's amazing. And do you have, I mean, I know you wrote that, but you must have other moments that just like jump out at you as well. I don't want to put you on the
Boy, you know, I have, there's, I guess on every show I worked on, because I worked, you know, when I worked with Spike, every single day was just laughter and funny and craziness. And, you know, I was joining this group of people who had been here for so long at that time anyway, like Spike and Dave Bennett and Mary Vandeveld and Tom Peterson, who was my boss. He was here for 25 years and hired me. So, and then I worked with such a great group of reporters too, you know, Wes Bleed, Dave Stewart, all these hardcore, and Judy, you know, I have to put Judy in there too, one of the best reporters I've worked with.
Sure.
And then, you know, just peers all over the industry, you know, at different stations. We've all covered stories together. It's hard to pick a story that really stands out, but I think that election year, that 2016, and I was on the air with you a bunch too.
Yeah. You were in New York at Hillary's campaign headquarters.
Yeah, in New York on election night. And then we started with the caucuses and went to the primary and then the conventions. It was just a whirlwind. And it was really cool being a part of that. And then just different things like Oprah's last show, which was amazing. And 9/11 at the complete opposite end of the spectrum, where it's just the most emotional thing that has ever happened in life at that moment.
And we've been, you know, it has been my, you know, I've been in awe, you know, when you and I had to cover some stories that were heartbreaking, and I've watched you cover stories that were hard to have to, you know, we were here together for the Mercy Hospital shootings.
Oh, yeah.
I was in the newsroom watching you and everybody else come together to cover the story in Aurora as it was unfolding.
Yeah.
And you really, I mean, you always just step up to the game. And you are such a leader, too.
Thank you, Patty. Yeah. You know what? And I enjoy, and I mean, co-hosting with you, which we did for about 9 months, was my first step into, you know, full-time hosting.
Yeah.
You know?
We had fun.
And we did. We really, really did. And I still get emails and people are still like, oh my God, I love the show. And, you know, we had a good time.
We had a pocket of history.
We had a lot of fun. Yeah. We have our own little pocket.
The 312 asks, are you moving to Urbana or will your office be in Chicago? And you will be missed, by the way, they say.
Thank you. I will be based in Chicago.
Excellent.
So that's kind of part of this whole program, is that we're trying to really increase the presence of the university in Chicago, because as you know, you're a graduate and you work in Chicago. Mm-hmm. 90% of the graduates will have their first job in Chicago.
Huh.
So we want to keep people engaged. And since I announced this, Patty, just people from our industry, people at different stations, and they're saying, hey, I went to Illinois, I'm a graduate. ILL, you know, people are just extremely supportive. So it's just, we're going to try and increase the presence here in Chicago.
Well, I'm proud of my experience there and my degree from University of Illinois. It changed my life forever. I would not, it's like anything else, but I would not be who I am without the University of Illinois.
I agree. It was the first time I lived alone. First time we all went away and lived on our own.
Yeah.
And it shaped so much of me. And it's kind of, things are coming full circle. One of the women I'm working for is my first boss. When I was in Champaign, I was a young reporter and I worked for her. And now she's the vice chancellor for public affairs.
Oh, man.
I know. So it's strange. It's come full circle. And another woman I'll be working for, another vice chancellor, or as we say, working with.
Yes.
Is Mary Vandeveld's college roommate.
Oh, really?
Isn't that funny?
It's a small world.
I know.
It's all in the family.
It is. It really is.
Oh, man. Well, we will miss you, and I know that you're done tonight. And we'll see you again.
See you tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night?
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk some more then.
That sounds good.
All right.
Okay, have a great show, Patty.
And by the way, check the traffic before you leave, because the Kennedy looked nasty on the way out.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Patty. I need that now.
By the way, the Lawrence entrance was closed, but that won't affect you. It was weird.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
All those problems around Lawrence.
All the construction. It's nasty. All right. We're going to take some calls when we come back. That's Andrea Darlis. Last day is on Friday as far as full time, but she'll still be here for Andrea and the reporters.
Yes. On Monday nights.
Thank you, Andrea.
Thanks, Patty. You will.
Rich, we're going to take a call when we come back in just a moment on 720 WGN. I can't wait a minute, Vivian. You know why I can't wait a minute? Because Rich has been hanging on through the entire conversation we were having with Andrea Darlis. And I want to thank Rich for being patient. What did you want to say, Rich?
Hey, Patty. This is Trucker Rich.
Hey, Trucker Rich.
I'm going to miss Andrea, because she wasn't just a news person. She put, her heart and soul in the news. And
it
just amazes me how she can be that calm when there's stuff like those shootings and 9/11 with Spike and stuff. But the one, I didn't know she was leaving until I got on the, listening on hold, but I'm going to miss her, but I still got you as my co-pilot.
And
but,
we'll make sure that we you know, get her in the studio, and of course you'll be able to hear her for Andrea and the reporters. Just so
okay.
You know. Yep.
You guys were talking earlier about living in different areas and,
yep.
you know, the climates and stuff. I've lived in Northern Illinois all my life, except for 4 years when I was in the Army down in Georgia.
Right.
Southwest of Atlanta. And I think it all becomes, I don't know what the right word is, but you get acclimatized to it, so it really doesn't matter. Because, like, the first year I was down there, my wife and I went shopping for our Christmas tree in flip-flops and shorts and T-shirts. And the second year, it was shoes, long pants, long-sleeve shirts. And by the fourth one, we were dressed up like they were. You know,
yep.
we were just as cold, you know, as up here, down there, as up here.
Too funny.
It's weird how you get acclimatized to it, you know?
Well, you know, and I don't spend too much time in Los Angeles, but even when I was out there, and it could be, you know, freezing temperatures, a tundra here in Chicago, if I was in Los Angeles and it was 50, I'd be like, it's so cold, it's 50 degrees.
I experience the same thing. My boyfriend's from Los Angeles, and uh-huh. and I go there often, and seriously, when it was 55 degrees, I was like, it's cold.
It's so cold.
And he laughs at me.
I don't know if it's mental, as though your expectation is that it should be warmer because you're on the West Coast, but yeah, no, you do. You know, a friend of mine, Lenny Schmidt, who you may have heard on the show a couple times over the last couple weeks, he talks about how his blood just got thinner, right? He just couldn't handle the cold weather anymore. So you have lived yeah. Most of your life, Tucker Rich, in the northern part of the country, more northern part of Illinois.
Yep, just south of Rockford. I've been there. Was born within 25 miles of. Well, I live in Rochelle. You know a few people from
yeah,
there.
Tim Clue is from Rochelle, Illinois.
Yeah, I went to school with his brother, and I know him, you know,
get
through his
here.
Brother. And what else? What
small
else,
world.
Who else was from there? Joan Allen?
Sure. Great.
I went to high school with her.
The Contender is one of our favorite movies in my house.
Yeah.
Yep.
If she had not have had me for a lab partner in high school in science, she probably would have been at a 4.0 grade average.
Aw.
I probably dropped her a point or two because I'm just me. But, yeah, I've lived here all my life, and it's like you get used to it. But, you know, now that I'm getting older, it's like, well, the winters are getting a little longer. And
sure.
This last winter here was the weirdest one I've ever experienced, really.
I think so. I feel that way. I mean, there have been some brutally cold ones, but this one was sporadic. Which was, you know, you
right.
couldn't anticipate what was going to happen next. Even though you'd have the weather report, it never sunk in. You're like, come on.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought, too. I was like, no, it's probably not.
It's
blizzard?
It's going to be 75 on Monday and 22 on Wednesday? Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, it's, I mean, I went through the, what they call that one, Snowmageddon, when, you know you're in trouble when Chris Cantore shows up, you know, when he had that viral hit where there was a thunder snow
is scary.
And he about jumped out of his pants,
sure.
you know, and stuff like that. You know, you can handle that, but this 8 inches of snow on Sunday and then 70 degrees on Monday.
Right.
Come on.
I know.
Nature must be on crack.
Yeah. No, she leaves the room angry and keeps coming back. And another thing.
Yeah. Tucker Rich, I'll tell you what, you guys put your snow shovels away. Ha, 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 ha.
Exactly. Hey, Tucker Rich, I have a question for you. I was thinking about you the other day. Were you aware, like, when they were having that trucker slowdown into Chicago, does that go through the radio, or was that something that was organized differently? Did you have any idea about that?
I first heard about it through Vic Vaughn.
Okay.
Over Nick, you know, because it was kind of like one of those Facebook groups that I've never heard of before.
Okay.
You know, so...
So it wasn't over the radios, because I mean that would be the kind of thing that they wouldn't necessarily want to broadcast that way, because the police could pick it up that way, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was a slow roll.
All right, I'm a truck driver, you know, and it's like talking politics. You
right.
can't get seven truck drivers to agree on anything, so
that's fair.
I couldn't figure out how they could get that many people to do it unless you had like four guys that would block the whole road and everybody else get stuck in it, you know. But
yeah, for those who don't know, it was it was about 30 truckers who took place in they had a slow roll demonstration from Moni toward downtown Chicago to protest conditions for truck drivers. So here's the thing though. I mean, I know more now than I did before. About as far as
right.
the conditions and the requirements, the electronic, you know, bookkeeping. Has that affected you?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good, but it's also bad, in a, you know, in a sense. I mean, I've got a dedicated route, and I know what, how long it takes me, and I can do it, all the legally stuff. But if you notice more trucks driving faster in your travels, mm-hmm. not just because of the speed limit being raised, but guys are racing a stopwatch.
Right.
You know, you've got this number of hours before you have to stop. Well, you got to get somewhere. And like when you get into Chicago, if you're here during the rush hours, you can lose 2 hours on your day.
Right.
You know, it's like you guys on a time, you know, it's like, well, it's on a time clock, but you're not allowed overtime.
Yeah.
So when it hits the time to stop, you've got to park wherever you are, and there's not enough parking spaces for all the trucks out here. So that's why you got guys sleeping on the shoulders of on ramps and off ramps, and, you know, guys driving 80 mile an hour instead of 70 because they got to make up, you know, an extra 10 miles because they got slowed down here.
Yeah, you're doing the best you can.
So, yeah. So, yeah, the electronic logs is good and bad.
Right.
I mean, you know, it saves me 15 minutes a day because instead of going by 15-minute increments, it actually counts it down by the minutes. So.
Gotcha.
But I didn't believe in, I don't know, it's hard to say, but
right.
I didn't think that it ever worked. But if it got at least one person to understand what was going on, then I guess it did make its point. But
yeah, that's I had no idea. I mean, most of us would not be aware that there were changes and regulations that were changing for the truck drivers, you know, obviously the men and women who make sure our country keeps moving. So we should pay more attention to what you guys go through. And I've always contended that.
Yeah, and all the original laws were made back in the 40s.
Right.
When trucks rode like lumber wagons.
Sure.
Now I bet you could ride in the seat of my truck and fall asleep in it because it's got air ride suspension, an air ride cab, and an air ride seat. It's as comfortable as my lounge chair. I mean, I got big old armrests and I got a good stereo, air conditioning, and they're quiet.
Right.
You know, so.
You're a great salesman.
Yeah, you are. Well, ultimately, you know, one of the things that the truck drivers with their slow roll were fighting for were safety conditions for truck drivers. And as you mentioned, you know, doing it the way they are now, it seems as though it's setting up a hazard for how you guys can get some rest. So make sure you get some rest. All right, Trucker Rich?
Yep. And I know another thing they were talking about, too, is like before you used to be able to take like a 5-hour break. If you were tired, you could pull over, take a 5-hour nap.
Take a nap, right.
And get credit for it.
Right.
Now you can't. Now you don't get that credit. You got to keep working your 14 hours or you lose the 5 hours in your day.
Ugh.
You know, so guys are driving tired, you know.
Right. Nobody needs that.
So
for you or for us.
So.
Yep. We'll be safe. Well, I know it's
not so much for us. It's for families, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you've got your family in a minivan. You know, I'm just theorizing because you're a family.
Yeah, you're right. You know me in my minivan.
You're not riding around in a Corvette or a Camaro. You know, so.
No, I'm not.
But you know, it's just safety for the other. You know, safety for the other people on the road. You know.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate what you go through, and I hope that you stay safe out there, Trucker Rich. Thank you so much.
We're going to keep trying. I'm going to keep listening until I retire. So.
Oh, well, I hope even after you retire, keep trucking.
Well, I'm going to retire. I mean, we all get tired, right?
Eventually, I guess.
Yeah.
Be well. All right. Thanks, sir.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Tom, if you want to hold on the line, I will take your call right after the news because I've got to go and turn it over to our newsroom. It was a beautiful spring day in Chicago. Temperatures in the low 70s, beautiful breeze, sunshine. Such a contrast to the drudgery of Sunday. Over 5 inches of snow where I was. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show, and we are in the Allstate Skyline Studio behind the glass. Behind the glass, really. I just feel like I have to have like an
emergency
hammer.
I love when you
hammer.
Say that, behind the glass.
Behind the glass is Vivian. How do I say your last name? Lanou. Producing the show tonight, taking your calls, and of course, producing the show, making sure everything goes smoothly. And she spoke to Tom a little while ago, who's been on hold for about 20 minutes, I'm going to guess. Tom, thank you so much for holding on so long. What did you want to say?
It's just a quick story about the snow.
Uh-huh.
My grandma every year used to say, until it's officially spring, Mother Nature sweeps the corners out.
Yeah, definitely felt that way. Man, were you angry on Sunday, or did you think of her when the snow was coming down?
I thought of her, and I started laughing. I go, well, she did more than sweeping.
That's a great memory to have. Where'd you grow up?
Glendale Heights, mostly.
Yeah. Is that where she was? Was she from the area as well?
No, she actually grew Belmont and Central in Chicago.
Okay, over by, is that by, I think it's Hanson Stadium, maybe. Belmont, no, not Belmont. Belmont and Central, I'm trying to think of what neighborhood that is. But, so your family moved out of the suburbs. They're like, you know what, we want more space for this snow.
Close to like Foreman High School, kind of.
Yeah, I remember that. All right. Yeah, one of the, over by there, as it were. Well, Tom, right. What a great story. Thank you for telling us about that.
All right, have a good Easter.
You as well. Have a great rest of your week as well. It's I agree with it with his grandmother. Yeah, it's just kick, you know, sort of like shaking it all loose, see what we got left in the, you know, in the closet, just dump it all out.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess so. And the thing is that, you know, we have to remember too is that any precipitation is good for our gardens. I don't know if this late in the season how good it is for our farmers. That's the thing you have to really think about.
That's a
too,
good question,
right? I don't know what Orion has to say about that.
We should get a farmer on the show.
Hello, farmer. They're sleeping. They get up early.
Wake
they have
up.
Work to
Come
do.
Come on the Patty Vasquez show, everybody.
Tell us what it's like. What effect does this have for the farmers during their planting season, because they've got to, you know, start getting ready, and like this is it. This is when they start doing all the, you know, seeding and things like that. So hopefully it doesn't set them back too far. But this was kind of a grueling winter. By the way, I've been talking to Vivian off the air. We often receive books from authors, and I've been trying to write two books. I have one book that is about you know, what it's like to be, you know, sort of your best and worst stories of dealing with doctors, and I'm trying to collect these stories. We're actually going to start I'm trying to start a podcast. I was going to call it Being Patient, but that title is already taken.
Oh, bummer.
But it's a great podcast. It's actually an individual who has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So they're trying to, like, you know, continue to tell their story through this podcast. So I was like, all right, you can keep that.
Keep the title.
Fair enough. But I think that everybody has sort of a best and worst moment as a patient, the way, you know, maybe a doctor handled your situation or a nurse handled your situation incredibly well. And some instances where you're like, is this really how this went down? You know, is this really the conversation that we're having?
Yeah.
So I've been wanting to write this book. It's basically with kind words, kind of helping doctors find a way that can strengthen their skills of communication. And the part of the thing I struggle with is like, how long should it be and how many essays or stories do I include? So I got this book, and I'm not going to tell you the title of it because I'm sure it's a great book. It's only 60 pages long. And it costs $25. And I think that sometimes you have this goal of something you want to set out to accomplish, and maybe you're setting the bar too high for yourself and need to find a lower bar and go, well, 60 pages. I could, and 60 pages, not even like full page. I mean, that's pretty big font.
Yeah.
When you say that's really big font. I was like, and there's 9 chapters. I'm like, all right. I could do that. I could do that. The other one I want to write, I'm collecting some of the essays about motherhood, and it's called Rhymes with Duck.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
I don't know what you thought of when I said rhymes. You got nervous there for a second.
I looked at you and I was like, wait.
Wait, what?
One more time.
So Griffin, when he was about 2 years old, was in the back seat in his, you know, his little car seat, was being all adorable, and he was rhyming words with a duck. And I kept waiting. Right. And I was so nervous because he's like truck, you know, and muck and ruck. And he's using all these words. And I was like gripping the steering wheel so that I wouldn't overreact.
Yeah.
You know, that I wouldn't either laugh or get mad at him or anything. It would just be calm and act like it wasn't any different than any of the other words that he had just said. And I realized that's kind of like parenting, right? You don't want to go to the extremes. You don't, you know, you just want to kind of like, okay, this is happening. So that's why the book is called Rhymes with Duck. You just want to like go.
That's a good title.
And
a good backstory for sure.
That's, well, one, he, yeah, well, there have been times. I always, believe it or not, for those who know me, I only swore in front of Griffin. By the time he was 5, I'd only sworn twice in his first 5 years of life. For who I am, it's not too bad. It's really not too bad.
In a Greek household, it's completely different.
Is there swearing in the Greek household?
Greek people, you need to know, they're very passionate.
Sure.
So when they're very passionate, they just start talking, and you just never know what comes out of their mouth sometimes.
Is it in English or in Greek?
In Greek, actually, okay. Both. There's this thing where it's Greeklish too, so you can say something in Greek and then translate it in English. I don't know, it's weird, but yeah. See, my parents are listening right now saying,
don't say it. By the way, thank you so much for the 815. The Orion did cover the ramifications of this weather and said the farmer issues this morning. It's too wet for machinery in the fields and the soil temperatures have to rise. So hopefully this will have a nice stream, a nice steady band of weather where they can start the work going. Let's take a break here. Oh, because it was 50 plus the next day, it did not affect farmers. Oh, so two conflicting posts there from the 309 and one from the 815. Okay, you two just duel it out. And one's going with Orion's report and the other perhaps a farmer. So I don't know. And different. Also, you never know about the region.
That's true.
Each 309 might be different from this area as well. I don't know where the 309 is.
We'll find out.
Actually, during the break. More in a moment on 720 WGM. It's the Patty Vasquez Show. And we are so happy you're here. 312-981-7200 to join us by texting or calling anytime. Watch for Chicago's very own Stories with Micah and Joe, Micah Mater and Joe Donlin, weeknights on WGN-TV News at 9. Then a prison guard sign. I don't need to be anything other than a specialist sign. I don't have to be anyone other than a bird that two souls in one. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. My guests this evening seem to be trickling in. Senator Dan Katowski, whose phone is on the fritz. Yeah. You should ask, are other iPhone users experiencing any difficulties? Right now, Dwayne Kennedy is trying to get here, and he just texted me that he's having trouble finding the building. So I don't know if he has an iPhone, and maybe his GPS is messing with him.
So what does he look like?
What's he look like?
Yeah, because I wrestled the guy outside to get into the door.
No. He's like driving right now trying to find us.
I wanted to be here first.
You were unable to get here tonight because partly we didn't communicate. Your phone's on the fritz.
The phone is broken. I have an iPhone and I downloaded the new update. And it's like, and now the data's not working for the phone and I can't message anybody.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I haven't updated my phone, so I have no idea.
Yeah.
So it messes up something you said?
In my phone it did, and ooh. I'm just a little bit concerned.
Well, to be
for
fair,
my future, to be honest with you.
I messaged
you. But that's independent of the phone.
I messaged you around 4 o'clock, and I said, hey, give me a call. I have a quick question about my company. I know, but you said K, meaning you'd gotten the message.
And I like the way you say company, too.
Yes, company. My company.
My company.
My company.
That's not
words.
A Chicago pronunciation. Company. That's like you picked up a dialect. It's weird. My company.
Oh my
have you come to see my company?
I need a favor from you.
What's the favor?
I'll just ask you on the air. Because,
yeah,
so
I'm here.
For anyone who does presentations and public speaking, one of the hardest things I realize now, and one of the things that's held us up with kind words, is a video. So what I would like to do is come to your group, to ChildServe, and do my presentation and videotape that so that I have something to put on my website.
Yeah.
So that's what I would love to come to talk to the folks at ChildServe.
Yes.
Who work with a lot of kids who are at risk, a lot of families who struggle with their situation, whatever it is in life. And I thought I would do that. And then also we could do sort of this is what you need to do in business is like trade and go, hey, I can help you with something if you'll help me with something. Just saying.
You just totally like blew my mind because that's what you do in business. I was like, what? That's what you do? That's what you do. So
right.
Yeah, you could come to one of our leadership team meetings.
Right.
We used to have like 25, 30 people there.
Yes, perfect.
And just do a presentation about in kind words.
I think anyone that's trying to start a business, sometimes there are corners that you're like, I don't know how to make it around this corner. I don't know how to take this next step. And this has been one of the things that's been holding me up. And you can't let things hold you up. You have to find a solution.
You constantly have to be like knocking on doors. Like, yeah. Did anything hold you up when you were like
stand-up
being
comedy?
A comedian?
No. That's the thing. Like, people ask me, how do I get into stand-up comedy? And I couldn't tell you how to do
you
it.
Just
I
kept
just
doing
did
it, right?
Yes.
You just kept showing up.
Right. Okay. So I just had an interview with somebody. I was being interviewed for a podcast, and they said, what are you most proud of? And I said, that I keep showing up. And they didn't quite get that, but it's the truth. I'm proud of the fact that I keep showing up. No matter what else ever happens, you got to keep showing up. And that's a bigger accomplishment for some people than you realize.
You see that in all aspects, and like in politics, and where you go down, and people who've been there for a long time, they've kept doing the work, they've kept showing up, and then next thing you know, they're a leader. and they're in a more of a position to help more people because of their position, because of what they've been, because they've stuck around, they've continued to do the work. And you see that, I see that with people in nonprofits, and they've worked 25, 30 years in a nonprofit, and they've been in a leadership position there. And you see the same thing in business. It's fascinating. I went and saw this, it was the Baumhart Center for Social Change through Loyola University. And they have these presentations, and I mean, they're great because they have people talk about like their careers. And one of the people that was Andrea Zopp was there, and she's with World Business Chicago, and she told her story about everything she's done from the beginning of her career till now.
Right.
But a lot of it's just, you know, just plowing ahead, keep showing up,
right,
keep doing. In other words, Pat Canning, and he spent his entire life at KPMG, and he's a partner. But the whole idea was talking about the work that you do in the business sector, right, and how you, you're a part of a corporation, but how that intersects with social impact and making a difference in the community.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the stories have the same prevailing theme. You know, I showed up, I did the work, I continue to do the work, I'm still here.
Yes.
I haven't given up.
Persisting,
right?
Yeah.
Persistence pays
persisting
off.
Persisting and existing.
I persisting think. And existing.
Yeah.
That's yours.
That's mine. Persisting
Bush, trademark
and existing.
Yep. Well, let's call it attorney.
Well, sometimes folks ask why I went down to Springfield, you know, when the budget crisis started, when you were still in your seat as the senator. What district were you the senator of?
It was the Fighting 33rd until it became the Fighting 20.
Did you get gerrymandered?
So you said, yeah.
Oh boy!
Yeah, gerrymandered.
Gerrymandered.
That sounds bad.
And people wanted to know why I went down there. I'm sorry, they think it sounds bad.
Well, no, dander. It's like there's like, dander in my hair. Nothing. I don't have hair for dander. Yeah. That's a benefit, though. That's another plus to not having hair.
Well, is it though?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's how you frame things.
How often do you have to shave that?
It's every, you know what, it should be more, but it's like, it's every, like, if I really get, like, out of hand, mm-hmm. it's like every, like, 3 to 4 weeks where I'm like, you know what?
That's it?
Yeah, because it grows out
right.
into the side, and it gets all wiry. And
I'm wiry.
Like, and my wife's like, you look fine. I'm like, nah, you can't see that hair that's more than a quarter inch right now. It's really driving me crazy. Mm. And, yeah, it's every couple weeks to 3 weeks.
This is such a weird transition from talking about business and how to, you know,
it's a great transition because we could start a business.
Well, because my next question,
my
next question is about our boys. Are your boys shaving every day? Because Declan doesn't have any sort of facial hair, and Griffin has had a mustache since he was 11 years old. And he lets
right?
it. Oh yeah, he had a little. He had like the. Oh, I hope he doesn't hear this. He had this cute little like caterpillar fuzz, you know.
Yeah.
And I found out the other day that part of the reason why he keeps the mustache is that he feels it makes him look more Latino. And
oh.
We were walking today. He's Irish and Mexican, like I am. And we were walking today, and he was, you know, we were talking about looking Mexican. And I said, "What do you think people mean when they say that to us?" Just curious what it means to him because he looks even lighter than I do. You know,
I don't know. I can't. I can't.
I don't know. I don't know.
What
people mean.
I think, you know what? It's, I would take it as also kind of a. When I was a kid, I always wanted to do things, or to interest that I was focused on. It was a way to kind of connect to my father. He was from Cleveland, so I rooted for. And he didn't even go to Ohio State, but I rooted for Ohio State because it was in Ohio.
Right.
Right? And so there's certain things that kids do. Like, well, yeah, that's part of our heritage.
Right.
And I'm going to do this. And so, funny, my son, he's 18, Nate.
Is he 18?
Yeah,
now?
And he's going to SIU next
Senator.
Year.
Senator.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We made it to
yes?
18. And
wow.
But he, every few days, he really needs a shave because they're not like, it's not uniformity in terms of the hair that's coming out. It's like a
patches.
You know, it's like a straggler.
Yes.
And you're like, we're like, hey, you know, you may want to consider doing that. And he's got the electric razor. He's got a little something.
Yeah.
And then he wants to keep the lip there because
yeah.
he thinks it makes him look older. And I think my fear is he's gonna go to SIU and come back and he's gonna have like patches. You know, it's just gonna be. I don't know. It's going to look like he's got, you know, 3 inches of hair here, 1 inch. It's going to be all over the place.
I don't remember any. Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, I don't remember any of my classmates letting the facial hair go the way you're talking about, because it
sounds
similar.
There were some, and it wasn't as prevalent. Now it's such a cultural thing.
Yes.
It's a phenomenon that everybody feels like they have to grow a beard. Like you I was at a party and I was like, all these, my niece got engaged and they had an engagement party. All these guys had beards.
Right.
And, you know, I grew a beard years ago, and that was when I had like a comb over and I really needed a beard to kind of counteract like the imbalance of the. But I know I grew this beard
in the wintertime. You grow beards.
Yes,
I've seen for Santa Claus.
Well,
I guess
if someone were to play it,
yes, right. Your homage,
my homage
to Santa Claus.
Yes.
I wasn't saying that you were Santa Claus.
No, the real Santa.
That would be weird.
No, that would be really strange.
Are you Santa Claus?
I wouldn't say.
All right, then fine. Fair.
There was a card that I found, and the suit fits.
Secrets come. Yes. Secrets come out on the Patty Vasquez Show. Everybody,
there's a lot of sharing. I'm telling you, it was like, and my wife is really into the Santa thing, so I like, you know, I just she's like, yeah, you really look like Santa, and you know, and for a month I like kind of walk on water, which is great. Yeah,
okay,
not for the other 11 months. I'm walking on sidewalks.
By the way, we have a great event we're going to talk more about in a little bit, but we have a great event coming up on May 16th. Dwayne Kennedy, Rocky Laporte, and I will all be performing stand-up comedy for Child Serve. It's stand-up for children.
Stand-up for kids.
The kids. I've heard it both ways.
Yes.
Stand-up for kids. And you can go to childserve.org, uh-huh. Childserve without the E at the end of serve.
Right.
And find out more about the event. And it's going to be an amazing night of comedy. We also have a couple videos. Well, you have a couple videos. Up.
I'm struggling, Patty. I got to admit.
I don't know why you are so insistent on writing material for me.
No, I feel like it's a calling.
I need you to stop.
I was just thinking, like, it could be the thing. It could be our thing. We work together.
You can do your dad jokes.
Yeah, we talk. We talk
all the time. We're good friends. We've been friends for 10 years.
And sometimes I felt like a repartee. I was like, you didn't feel like my kind of insinuating some jokes into that? Like, hey, maybe she's going to try this out.
No.
And you really haven't. And I was like, maybe I needed to say it overtly. That
you know what, I'm late for a break. More after this on 720 WGN. As long as I got my suit and tie, I won't leave it out on the floor tonight. And you got fixed up to the nines. Let me show you a good thing. All dressed up in black and white. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show. Joining me in studio is Senator Dan Katowski, the CEO and president of Child Serve, regular guest on the show. Actually, the very first guest I ever had on the show. Now, Senator, you know that I like to, when I like somebody, I just am friends with them for as long as they'll let me be in their lives. And there's a comedian out of central Illinois, not far from where you've served in the General Assembly, from a small town in Mason City. John Means messaged me. He said, hey, I have a friend who's coming into Chicago. Would you mind checking him out and see if you'd like to have him on your show? And I actually didn't even bother checking out Mike Dugan because John Means sent you. And in Chicago, when someone sends
stellar,
you.
He's stellar, that guy.
Yes. When someone sends you, right, Senator?
I'm not going to see somebody that nobody sent.
I'm not going to see somebody that nobody sent, but you've been sent.
Yeah.
Hi, Mike. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
And you just got into town just yesterday?
I got in on Sunday night.
You made it through the storms.
Well, I was scheduled to arrive at 11:30 a.m.
Okay.
And I made it in. I got to the airport in Chicago at 8:30 p.m. They loaded us. There was a delay of 2 hours, and they put us on the plane because we're cleared for Chicago. They got it all cleaned up, they said. And then we were on for an hour. They can't keep you longer than an hour. They go, everybody's got to get off the plane. A couple hours pass.
No.
And they say, okay, we're cleared. We got it from ground control and flight control in Chicago. We're ready to go. And we got on the plane, and we're waiting and waiting. And an hour later, get off the plane.
No.
And then, like, that's a couple hours after that, they're like, no, definitely this time. Oh, it was like Lucy pulling the football away from Charlie Brown after a while.
Man.
I would have gone through a bottle of Xanax on that one.
It was funny. It was really funny to people watch how people handle or do not handle stress in a situation like that.
Oh, yeah.
People are getting irritated with the guy behind the counter who's taking care of the tickets and answering questions. And I walked up and I said, I am completely prepared to treat you nicely.
It's a great way to start a conversation.
I said, I have several questions. I think this will go smoothly.
I think everyone should start a conversation that like that. I am completely prepared to treat you nicely.
And then he bumped me up to executive class.
Oh, really? There you go.
Later, because the second time I went back on and had to get off, I thought I was in, and I put my boarding pass in the pocket of the seat in front of me. And then when we went to get on the third time, I was like, oh, I don't have a boarding pass. He's like, I'll take care of that. He goes, 26A? I said, yeah. He goes, you want an aisle seat? I said, sure. And I looked at it, and it was like 11A. I'm like, I know what you did. Thank you. And, you know.
That's great.
Because you can't really point it out when somebody pulls a solid for you like that. You can't go, oh, my God, he gave me an unbelievable seat.
I just got 115 seats.
Is she allowed to do that? I'm gonna compliment him to his boss.
I love this guy.
Yeah, everyone's all ticked off. And besides, when we travel, because we travel alone when we are on the road,
that's the way it is,
right? And you learn the tricks.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I've gotten on and off planes before, and you see people with their kids, and people have to be somewhere, and you're like, as long as I get to my show, are you as a performer, someone has to be in town for a show? Are you a first plane out? I take the first flight out usually. Kathleen Madigan taught me that when I was on the road with her.
Early in the morning?
The first flight out.
Oh, when you're leaving or when you're arriving at the club?
When you got to get to the club. First flight out so that you, if there's any other
problem, you go later.
Exactly.
I like to sleep.
Fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
I can sleep anywhere.
But you like to sleep after the show, you mean? Or you're
Before the show, I don't like to sleep. Like, I used to work between San Francisco and Los Angeles a lot, and I did a lot of shows in San Francisco, and I'd get done with a show at 11:30 or 12 or 12:30 or 1 at night, and I would drive down Route 5 to get to Los Angeles, because it's a peaceful time, and you can do like 120. Can I say that in front of a senator?
Yes, I think you can. Yeah, former.
Yes.
You can do like 120 if you get...
Sorry, I had to say that.
I didn't hear you.
In Illinois,
you have to be specific. Yeah,
you wanted to spend more time with your family.
I'm sorry, it's true.
I wanted
anyway, so you're doing 120 miles.
It's not
miles.
About me.
Well,
go back to you.
You get somebody a half a mile ahead of you who's doing 120. And I had a 300 ZX, and you get somebody a quarter mile, half a mile, you're pocketing in between them, and
that's
just
awesome.
Styling.
The cops can get the one in front of you or the one behind you.
Isn't that a beautiful drive, though, too? And
It wasn't along. It wasn't along the ocean. That's 101. That goes through like Pebble Beach and that area.
That's gorgeous.
Clint Eastwood town, you know?
Yeah.
And but I did get pulled over doing a Bucko 5 in the middle of the afternoon by a cop. I didn't see him. I don't know where he came from. And I was waiting for a car to get out of my way. Is this okay? Yeah. Well, I'm waiting for a car to get out of my way. And all of a sudden, I see the cop behind me with the lights. And I'm like, oh, no. And I pull over, and he comes up to the car, and he goes, you were doing a Bucko 5 and pulling away from me.
Oh, man.
When I pulled you over, what's the hurry? I said, I've got couples therapy at 3 o'clock in Los Angeles. And if I'm late, I'm going to be in a lot worse trouble than I thought I was going to be. And he goes back and checks out my paperwork, comes back, gives me a ticket for excess of 70.
Oh, which it could have been worse.
Huge break. Over 100, they tear up your license on the spot and tow your car, and you're in the middle of...
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I don't even know if my car can do 100. I don't think I'd do a buck.
Did the relationship work out? Is everything all right?
No, in fact, it's the relationship... It's the relationship that I talk about in the show.
Oh, come on.
About how I had cheated on her and lied.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I guess that's our segue.
That's our segue to the show. It's running at Stage 773 right now for 10 days, and hopefully we can see you stay longer. So Men Fake Foreplay is the name of this production.
Yeah. Now, it's not as glib as it initially sounds. It's a very...
I was wondering, actually.
It's more of a metaphor. It's about expanding the definition of foreplay to be basically everything we do to make women safe, including... how we build the character of the man we bring to our relationships. So it's a very funny but deeply considered look at trying to become a man in a boys will be boys world.
Uh-huh.
Stepping up, blaming women for your problems. Maybe she's not a beat thing, whatever you call it on the radio.
Or she's not tricking you into an argument all
maybe
the time.
You're an idiot.
Maybe. Oh, I didn't go that far, but
yeah,
you're saying you're an idiot?
No. Maybe she's not a bee. Maybe you're an idiot.
I know.
It a look. But it's also very compassionate to men in that, of course, we are the way we are. Look at the cultural influences that shape our development. So I use the comedy to ridicule and deconstruct all of the things that don't work for men and women, and by extension, children, women being the primary caregiver. And then I reconstruct a parallel ideal that says, you know, we could and should do a little bit better. It's like, it's a deeply considered show. It's very, very funny, but all the reviews I get are hilarious and necessary, hilarious and important.
Interesting.
It's nice to have a review that says you're necessary, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's better than being unnecessary.
I didn't get that review from that relationship I cheated on. That was extremely uncalled for, what
yes.
you just did.
That's in the quotes. Uncalled for.
Yeah.
This is your review. Uncalled. How long were you married?
Unforgiven. Oh, no. Clint Eastwood made a movie with that. That's already taken.
Atonement.
Actually, his ex, Frances Fisher, who was... she was in Unforgiven and Titanic. She played Kate
right.
Winslet. She directed my show for a year.
Get out of here.
Yeah,
okay. She's lovely. No, don't leave.
Okay, you got airtime to fill.
Do you know who Dwayne Kennedy is? Dwayne Kennedy is one of the writers.
I know of him.
Yeah, he's one of the writers on the Kamau Bell show. And he also, I think he has his own special coming out. He's actually performing in the comedy night that we have coming up with Senator Dan Katowski. He's going to be in studio in a
Who's
moment.
Who's Senator Dan?
Oh. Senator Dan Katowski,
just call me Dan.
So for those catching up who haven't heard Senator Dan Katowski on the show before, and I'll introduce you in this way, he served for 9 years in our legislature and realized that he wanted to help families in a more fundamental and actual way. So he stepped down to take over as the CEO and president of an organization called ChildServe, where they help children reach their potential. A lot of kids who are at risk, some of them who have been the victims of domestic violence, maybe their parents are incarcerated or getting treatment for drug abuse. Am I doing this all right?
You're doing great. Put you on the payroll. You're doing wonderful.
So that's what Senator, he wanted to be able to know that he was helping people in a direct way. So that's what he does.
Wow, very
now.
Good. I heard you mention the name of the organization earlier, and I was wondering what that was. Have you followed Marianne Williamson at all in her presidential run? And she's talking about establishing a U.S. Department of Children and childhood trauma that she talks about. It's right up your alley, man.
Right, right.
You should take a look. And I mean, her stance on it is unbelievable about... I can almost recite it, that if by the time a kid is 8 years old, if he doesn't have reading skills, the chances of him finishing high school are drastically reduced. If he doesn't finish high school, the rate of incarceration goes up, and these kids live in high trauma, domestic situations, community situations, and that ties in with her idea for the reparations also.
This is the second person I've talked to in a day that wants me to look up Marianne Williamson, who is running for president.
It's in the air. It's like the secret.
Let's let the secret in, too. Did Dwayne make it into this? Oh, I'm so glad.
Yes, he's here.
I felt so badly. So let's take a break here. And he's not the first person that got turned around, because sometimes people end up on Lower Wacker. Our guest, Mike Dugan, who's performing at Stage 773 in the production of Men Fake Foreplay, told us that there was some issue getting here as well. I don't know how better to tell. I mean, I guess maybe, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Get somebody out there, like, kind of waving something.
We'll talk about it on
somebody
break.
Somebody with a semaphore.
I'll be on the street.
It's a big thing. It's a Patty Vasquez show.
Give me like... $10. I'll
you've arrived. You've
yeah,
arrived.
Patty Show here.
More in a moment with our guests on 720 WGN. There are nights when I just realize how much of a lucky girl I am. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. I feel like, you know that song, Make New Friends, But Keep the Old? Some are silver
and
the others are gold. So we're making new friends. We have in studio with us Mike Dugan, who has a new show running at Stage 773 called Men Fake Foreplay. In studio with us, we have Senator Dan Katowski, who I've had the pleasure of knowing for about 9 or 10 years. We met at a fundraiser for the Epilepsy Foundation. And joining me in studio is someone I've known my entire career, as a matter of fact, Dwayne Kennedy, who is going to be joining us for Stand Up for Kids. And he's thrilled to have made it to the studio.
Oh, man.
So you were texting me that you're having issues getting here. I will tell you that one night we were waiting for a guest to get here, and they never messaged me. And I was emailing them. That's the only information I had. And they said that they got so lost, they got scared, and they turned around and went home, which was in Milwaukee. And I felt they had driven They drove all the way from Milwaukee and could not find the studio.
I almost went to Milwaukee looking for this joint.
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
So I don't know how I could have. I don't know what I could have done to help.
No,
I
was did all you could, Patty. At some point, it was out of your hands.
It was
out of my hands. It was in God's hands.
Yeah, I don't know.
And in Rick Geezer's hands.
Yeah, Rick Geezer.
Yeah, God handed over Rick Geezer because God said, I can't help
him. Yeah, I called Rick Geezer and I'm like, could you please help Dwayne? Because I don't know what else to
do. Man, because I was on the verge of saying, you know what, Patty? I love you. We might have to do this another night.
Yeah. Which, and we can do
phone
it
her.
Well, that's what I did with the guy who turned around and went back to Milwaukee. He was so upset.
I
said, do me a favor, pull over somewhere, take a breath, and we'll do the interview on the phone. We're not going to make this a lost evening. But Dwayne's in town. I gotta have Dwayne. If I could have left and gone and found you, that's why I was like, what intersection are you at? I'll go downstairs.
I started to ask you, can you come get me, please? I'll be at the corner of Bewildered and Lost.
Last of the Mohicans, I will find you.
Yes, I would have gone on and found you.
Yeah.
Were you on any of the lower, like lower Wacker?
I was on the lowers, the uppers. I was on the side of Wacker. I was behind Wacker. I was on a street that almost said Wacker.
Every preposition you can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, I was everywhere. Yeah. We were everywhere.
Now I have a question because Senator Katowski came in and said he was having issues with his phone. Do you have an iPhone? Is it possible?
iPhone.
Okay, so is it possible that iPhone is messing with people, but in different ways? Like, it's specific to what you can't possibly... Like, you can't communicate with anyone, which
is... It's a virus in the phone. Like, I couldn't send a text out. I couldn't call.
Now, and
like the Wi-Fi was working, but it's like everything else is on the fritz.
You were misdirected.
I don't know if well, see, mine is old, so I didn't know if it was just something that happened to every. When I was at Zany's, my phone just went black.
Oh,
you know. And once your phone goes black. You know. I'm having issues with
I knew you weren't going to finish that.
No, this is a family show.
Is it though? It's almost midnight. Is it?
Okay.
Though? Is it?
Hey, does who owns this joint now? Sinclair. Sinclair.
No, Sinclair. The sale did not go through with Sinclair.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, so
okay.
So it's Nexstar will probably own us in August.
So how are they?
They seem pretty cool. They
yeah.
come in. They seem to. We get the impression that things will go on as they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, good.
And I'll just be a good girl. Tell me where.
Was the Sinclair decision? Was that an anti-monopoly, antitrust?
It was actually. They were going to have too many. It was. Someone told me that at some point in the history books of economics and conversations about business, that will go down as one of the most egotistical and hubris filled moments in history.
That's competing
they
with
really
a lot.
Let down that
really?
Regulation.
One of them. It said one of them. Maybe it's
like
a list of 100.
In Springfield. Are you sure?
Right.
Sinclair was the one that was sending out those canned political pieces, mm-hmm. the conservative ones, and making all of the local television stations air them as if they were news.
Yes, and actually, we now have at WGN Radio Lauren Lapka, who refused to do that. She was out on the West Coast, and she refused to read it, and she now works here as a traffic reporter, and we're happy to have her.
I bet.
That's awesome.
She's a Sox fan. I haven't figured out my allegiance. I know she's a big Sox fan because she got to walk the ball out yesterday. Like there's the first person that throws the first pitch, but there's someone who presents it was exciting.
It is exciting.
I would love to go out on the field at Wrigley when they're not, you know, being broadcast by Sinclair.
One time I did that. I was at Jim Brady, who had, he survived the shooting and, the attack on President Reagan. He came out there. He threw out the first ball at Wrigley, and he was in a wheelchair. And he, you know, they had given the ball, and they went out to the mound. And I thought, well, what's going to happen here?
Mm-hmm.
It's like 40,000 people. He lifts himself out of the chair.
What?
And he stands up.
Wow.
And he throws the ball, and it was bedlam. But, man. At the time, I was working advocating to try and pass policy to protect children and families from gun violence, and he was a leader in the movement.
Sure,
yeah, I was amazed. You know,
there's
a guy who was shot in the head, and yeah, it's one time I've been on the field, and I was like, this is magical. But being in Wrigley, I don't know.
It was beautiful.
If you're what fan are you? Baseball?
I'm a fan of whatever team that's winning.
There you go. That's a good. That's a good.
Life is short. And getting shorter all the time.
You don't root for losers. It takes some energy.
I'm a front runner.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
We'll find out more about Dwayne, who's sharing the stage with me and Rocky Laporte on May 16th at the Greenhouse Theater for a stand-up for kids. And Mike Dugan at Stage 773. He's got his new production, his now launch production of Men Fake Foreplay.
I've done it. I actually did it for a while. I was doing it in 1,000 and 1,500 seat subscription performing arts centers.
I was saying locally. Yeah,
and it's the premiere here. But yeah, you're getting.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm gonna go to the break. I'm like, we'll learn more about it just right after this.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
On 720 WGN.
You know, it gets late at night. You know, maybe you are like our friend comedian Paul Farvar, who joined us in the studio, and you have to have something to snack on. I felt badly because Vic Vaughn was in the middle of his news broadcast and like running through, crinkling a big bag, a plastic bag on the console in front of him. Like, I have to get a piece of candy for Dwayne Kennedy because he said he needed some sugar.
Yeah, thank you.
Before our operations director, Stephanie Menendez, left, or Stephanie Titchener, we used to have, she'd have candy in her office all the time. There'd be bags and bags of M&Ms and Reese's peanut butter cups.
You used to have food every night.
You know, we used to have.
People were bringing food. It was like a feast here. It was. Like the end of the world.
Vivian, we'll get the game back up again.
Yeah, what happened? What, did I miss that? I mean, what's going on?
People bringing ribs. It was just, whole glue.
Yeah, you got any ribs? Over.
Totally. It was this.
You know. Don't tell me that. I've only been here a month.
It was nuts.
Someone complained about an allergy thing.
What happened?
People wanted fat-free, gluten-free stuff and
gluten-free ribs.
I'm just hesitant to...
fat-free ribs.
Fat-free, gluten-free ribs.
Oh my gosh.
Non-alcoholic beer. Yeah. That's an evening of disappointment.
What's the point, Mike Dugan? What's the point?
Well, you
off in the question.
You don't want to get drunk. You just love to pee. That's the point of non-alcoholic beer.
Love the taste.
It's all good stuff. Now Dwayne Kennedy is at Zany's throughout the rest of the week through Sunday. What's your schedule like this week? You can finish that Whopper egg. I got a mug. It's Easter candy.
He's playing What's Paul Eating?
Of Kit Kat. Yes, Patty. Yes.
Now, is it a pastel Kit Kat, by the way, for Easter? Is it a pastel Kit Kat?
It's a pastel wrapper.
Okay.
But the Kit Kat is, you know.
See, just right.
That's a whole new genre, pastel wrappers.
Right, they're more sensitive.
Yeah. They are.
Yeah, yeah.
They're woke.
Yeah, they're empathetic. Yeah, yeah.
Dwayne is
that sounds like, excuse me, sir, you dropped your wallet.
And I had $1,000 on it. You are an honest man. Yeah. And I love your chartreuse shirt.
I do feel badly, Senator, because this is like kind of like old times, so we don't have any food. And like we had a lot of coffee, but then bad things happened that night, so we won't talk about that.
Yeah, the senator needs some food. He actually has a real job.
Well, not anymore. No. I mean, he does. No, he has a real job.
Not anymore.
No, I mean, he's not a senator.
He helps people.
Yes, yeah. Now he actually helps people. He's not a senator
anymore. You help people. You're helping people. Stand Up for Kids.
Yes.
The great event, which is going to help build better lives for children so they can reach their full potential.
What's the date?
You're making a difference.
May 16th.
Okay. And where is it?
It's at the Greenhouse Theater.
Enjoy the egg.
By the way, Paul Farvar is trying to understand why it's okay for Dwayne Kennedy to eat while he's on the air, and it's not okay for you to eat when you're on the air.
No, it's fine. I like it. I think he was... We do a segment called What's Paul Eating, where people have to guess, and we give them awards if they guess what I'm eating, and then Dwayne just does it, and it's no big deal. But Patty gets angry when we created a segment around it. So I just feel like there's a double standard.
It was kind of seamless, though, the way Dwayne was doing
it. Yeah, it's a need for you.
It was
you
more
get that loud smacking
chewy.
Thing
Yeah, because we want people to guess. We need something crunchy.
I can't.
Like
I
corn
can't.
Nuts.
He wasn't pitching it as a pilot.
Yeah. Oh,
did
no.
Did you do corn nuts?
We did corn nuts last night, yeah.
Did people guess the corn nuts?
No, someone guessed popcorn.
That was, yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You're in this theater and people are eating popcorn. You're like, why are you so loud eating popcorn?
You know, I have turned around to a guy and said, put the popcorn in your mouth, close your mouth, and then bite down on it.
Yeah. Totally.
So they're at a movie?
Yeah, people, they'll put it in their mouth and they go crunch
at the traffic stop
with their mouth still open. Wow. Close your lips, then bite down on the popcorn.
Okay. I'm
guessing you weren't at the 87th Street Theater.
No, I wasn't.
Hazarding a guess.
I wasn't at the Magic Johnson Theater.
This is how you should eat popcorn, and then that's the last thing I remember.
I never saw the end of when Harry met Sally.
And then it was lead poisoning.
I'm trying to enjoy 12 Years a Slave, and you keep smacking the popcorn, and I can't laugh at the funny parts.
And
oh my god,
we were watching Schindler's List, and there was a couple behind us. I was with some friends, and his woman kept saying every time Liam Neeson would get on the screen, she said, "Is that Schindler? Is that Oscar Schindler?
Oh, man. Is that
Schindler?" And the guy I was with, finally, after 10 minutes, you could hear, "Schindler, I think that's Oscar Schindler." Oh. Finally, he turns around and he said, "You're going to have to shut up." And I was like, oh, my God. But wow. She was like 80, so it really wasn't that intimidating.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't
age.
Like the 87th Street Theater.
Right, right.
So,
nothing makes dudes braves like 80.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Yeah. So Dwayne Kennedy is at Zany's on Wells. You can go to zanys.com for ticket information. One of my favorite comics on the planet. I like you, Paul. Mike, we were going to know each other. Rosemont.
Yes, I was on Wells yesterday and tonight.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
And I'm in Rosemont Thursday through Saturday.
Good to know.
Yes.
All right.
So, I didn't mean to point at you.
No, I'm glad you told me.
I know that because I saw that he was there on Thursday, and I was going to try to go check it out. So.
Yeah.
Paul and I just worked together in Munster, Indiana.
Oh, yes,
did you
did.
Really?
Yeah, the Munster...
Theater.
Comedy Arts.
It's a beautiful theater.
Munster theater.
It was a great
arts
theater.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
And nothing like theaters.
I love the theaters. And Mike just started his run at the Stage 773, which is on Belmont near the Burger King. I never know which how to describe where.
Yeah, opens tomorrow night.
It opens tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And so it is a one man show into the psyche of the male brain. Which I seem to be surrounded by, I guess. Hi, guys. Hi, everybody. But you were saying that, kind of exploring the idea of, because, I talk about how when I ask my husband, how do I look in these jeans, men often think that they're being tricked into an argument. And really, I just, you're the person I want to answer that question.
Right.
So do I look okay in these jeans?
You look terrific, honey.
Well, if I don't look good in them, what my husband has learned to say is, not my favorite thing on you.
That's good. That's really good. Yeah, that's really good. That's good advice.
Very tactful.
Yes.
Yeah.
What he'll say is, what I love? I love that purple dress you have.
Yes.
He'll say things like, yeah.
Yeah, you look.
One.
You look.
Turn
even
it into
more
a positive.
Beautiful. You look even more beautiful in something else.
Something. You're like panicking ahead of time.
Me? Yes, totally. Well, I probably got them all.
Don Marrero's got that great joke. Do these pants make my butt look fat? He goes, no. Vision makes your butt look fat. It's a classic.
Yeah.
So, Mike, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Ramsey, New Jersey, which is the northern part of New Jersey, in a little suburban town. And I live in Princeton now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you moved to Los Angeles for a while, though, didn't you?
I was in Los Angeles for 25 years, and I wrote for television and did a lot of stuff in San Francisco for 3 years, Los Angeles for 25, began raising the family there, and then my ex and I split, and she moved to Princeton to be near her parents, and took the kids, and I followed.
Well, at least it was near home, sort of.
Yeah, I live in a little Unabomber shack in the woods out in Hopewell, New Jersey.
You getting a lot of writing done?
Yeah. I get a lot of writing done. I hate her. I hate her. I'm joking. I don't hate her.
They call you Manifesto Mike.
That's
Mike.
Right.
Yeah. I'm up to... Will you proofread it for me? It's 780 pages. But then there's a chapter 2 and 3 also.
It's hard to read with all those X's on it.
Right. Yeah.
And Dwayne, you're originally from
here. I wrote it with a knife.
It's carved. It's carved.
Let me unscroll Mike's Christmas card.
Yeah, right.
It's filled with so much emotion.
Right.
So, Dwayne, you're originally from here. How long did you spend? Are you in Los Angeles now, or are you still kind of back and forth?
I'm back and forth. I've been here in Chicago for the most part this year. But I was in L.A. about a month ago for about a month.
Right.
And then... here, and then I'm going to New York Sunday, and then I'll be back here for the big benefit.
Yes.
The big
and we're glad you came back for that. May 16th.
Yeah, the raffle. I mean the kids.
See, we keep trying to promote it.
It's bingo with comics.
It's bingo with
golf
kids.
Tournament.
Yeah.
Well,
who wants to win a kid?
And the thing is, Senator, you're now surrounded by four comics. And,
yes.
And the senator has been doing these videos trying to promote the event, and he is convinced that he can. Well, one, last year you were very brave to try to start the event off, try to do some material.
Dad jokes. Really bad dad
jokes. And he's trying to write material for us. He had some thoughts of jokes that you could do, Dwayne. He wanted to share with you, but we'll try to go through that maybe after the show.
Okay.
He's got
I got some jokes you can do, Senator. Have you ever heard of the Aristocrats?
Oh, dear.
Oh, man.
Oh, no. We want people to give money.
What is it?
You don't know about the Aristocrats?
No, let's not go there.
Yeah. Right. No. I never even really understood that. I'm kind of naive.
It's just you just tell the longest, filthiest joke that you can.
Gross, and yeah.
And, you know, the guy walks into the talent agency. He says, "My family's that's a." He goes, "We're only looking for family shows." "Oh, this is a family show. It's my whole family." And then every member of the family does the most. And then this one does that, and then this one does that. Can you see my non-specific pronouns?
Yes, you're doing very well.
Is that the documentary?
Yeah, it's a documentary with Paul Prevenza and Penn Jillette
Gilbert Gottfried's in it.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Sarah Silverman,
it.
I think.
Yeah.
Bob Saget.
And then, you know, they just describe this whole thing, and then this happens, and that happens, and then at the end of it, it's like, oh, my God, what do you call this act? He goes, "The Aristocrats."
It's good, I like it.
Yeah, I think it goes back to, like, the 15th century or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it was... They was taking shots at the aristocrats.
That's the joke that lasts. Well, whenever we
have, everybody tells it differently. That's
right.
The thing
they have their own spin on it. Yeah.
Sure, sure.
Let's take a break here. More with our guests when we come back after this. Again, Dwayne Kennedy is at Zanies in Rosemont. Go to zanies.com for ticket information. And he'll also be at the Stand Up for Kids coming up on May 16th. We've got comedian Paul Farvar, Esquire. Do you have everyone's a lawyer coming up?
May 5th, yeah. May 5th. At Laugh Factory. Yeah,
no,
Sunday.
We don't want to talk about that.
He's okay. A lawyer.
Just kidding. He has a new episode of Singles Only also dropped this week.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Dugan at Stage 773 for Men Fake Foreplay. it just makes me laugh every single time. And the senator blushes, and that works. More after this on 720 WGN. Tonight it's just fun to hang out with some good folks. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Joining me is comedian Dwayne Kennedy. He is headlining at Zanies in Rosemont through Saturday. You can go to zanies.com for ticket information. And everyone was asking him in studio about his role in writing and helping produce the series The United Shades of America, right?
Yes.
On CNN with Kamau Bell.
Yes, which premieres April 28th.
Excellent. And
Sunday.
When I had come out, I've been meaning to reach out. I know they sent me a press release for the premiere of the season. You know, I saw Kamau, we worked together as open micers. We were at his first open mic was at the No Exit. Remember we used to do that?
Yes, absolutely. That's where he and I met.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where we all met.
I think we all met there. Yeah. Which is your old stomping ground in Rogers Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where you grew up. So it all comes to you, Paul and Mike. We'll get to you in a moment.
I was in Oak Brook, yeah. Thinking about you guys.
At the mall.
In Oak Brook?
Yeah. That's where I grew up, yeah.
Yeah.
You grew up in Oak Brook, Paul?
Oak Brook, yeah. The tough area.
Yeah, okay. South side of Oak Brook.
It was like called...
He was a figure skater.
Ginger Creek, yeah.
He was a shark.
Okay.
Ginger Creek.
That's the Ginger Creek. Everyone was like, oh,
is that the subdivision?
There's no gated community in Ginger Creek. All the ones have gated subdivisions. We didn't have a gate.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. How about New Jersey? Was there a gated community for you there in New Jersey?
No, but I grew up in a nice neighborhood with, like, it was a dead-end street, Dogwood Terrace, 45 acres of woods behind our house that belonged to a church, and we'd just go out and explore. That was when you could leave in the morning, disappear, come back at night for dinner, go run through the neighborhood catching fireflies and stuff.
It was not run into any serial killers.
The only gang...
That's before they...
The only gang in my childhood was the Cub Scouts. And our idea of dangerous weapons were popsicle sticks we had sharpened on the sidewalk. You do that? Yeah.
I was a Girl Scout.
Did you whittle?
I used to whittle, sure.
Yeah.
I could start a fire like nobody's business. You want an A-frame? You want a cabin, or like a log cabin looking thing? You want,
She's talking the talk.
Yeah. She's talking the talk.
Tinder, got your kindling? What do you want?
If we were 10, I'd totally...
We'd go ahead. The boys were afraid of me. I've learned that I've been told that the boys were afraid of me. But
good, it's best that way.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So we were talking about No Exit. I wanted to just for a moment, because that's where I saw Kamau Bell for the very first time. I remember one of his first jokes was about having so much emotional rope that it was he could hang himself with it. And I just
Yeah. That was an indication of things to come.
I messaged him about that, by the way, one time. Like, I'm like, I remember the weirdest things. What I remember about No Exit was they played this game with these little black and white chips that they would swirl around in the bowls. Do you remember that?
Vaguely,
you remember when we were trying to do our sets? You do comedy in these... it was like, I don't even know the name of it. But when it was quiet and there were no laughs, all you could hear were them swirling these chips around in these bowls. I was like, I can't with this.
The people that... Right, because they had the show going on while people were there just...
Playing some board game.
Playing board games.
Parcheesi, maybe.
That's, I was just at a show at House of Blue Foundation, which is a great room, but they have the bar So, like, if you have a joke where you're quiet for a second, all of a sudden you hear, and everyone is ordering something that's being shaken. Because I did a joke, and then it's just like, you're like, oh, are you kidding me right now? Like,
yeah.
That's the kind of thing. I mean, we all of us have done shows where it messes with your timing, and you can't let it get away from you, right?
Right.
Whatever the circumstances are, if you're doing a banquet room where everyone's just eating, it's the weirdest thing when you see people, like, just chomping on their salad, and you see blue cheese dressing dripping out of their mouth.
Oh, man, that is the worst. You know, when people book you, oh, you're going to love it. It's dinner and a show. Oh, no, not dinner and a show. So how about a show and dinner?
How do you handle people looking at their phones now? I mean, during the shows.
I try to be patient. I try to be patient, and then I start mocking them a little, especially if it's at a fundraiser, and they won't, like, if they have their back to me, like, I'll just be like, well, you know what, and I take a selfie of them, and then I post that, too, but the audience knows that I'm shaming them for being on their phone.
Nice.
Yeah.
If a phone rings in the audience.
Yeah.
I just say, that better be a kidney you're waiting for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Noted. Yeah. If I go to a comedy show, I'll make sure I do that.
Yeah, please. They remind you before.
Yeah, sit in the front and do that. Oh, man, they'll love you.
I did a show with Dwayne once, but I won't say where it was, but he had a heckler, and it was the greatest handling of a heckler I've ever seen in my life. I don't know if you remember that, where it was her birthday. It was recently.
We all tried to blank.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was amazing.
That was in Munster.
I was going to say where it was.
Who cares? That's show's true. Over now, Paul.
Yeah, we already did
we'll
it.
We'll never work there again.
I'm going to be there next Friday, but no. Oh, I'm just kidding.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Pam.
Now, what do you guys do when someone's recording you? Sometimes they just have the tablet up and they're just recording the whole thing. If you ask them to stop, then that's the video they have of you is asking them to stop, right? So it's such a tricky situation. Yeah. But it's not theirs to have.
Right.
It's not their show to put online or like, oh no, it's just for me. And I'm like, this is for you. What we're doing right now in this moment is for you.
Right.
You know, not for future you.
Right, right.
This is my intellectual property. Do you know what intellectual means?
Sometimes they're just doing like a snap, like a Instagram story, which is 15 seconds. I'll wait and see if they're doing that. And then 90% that's what they're doing.
Right, but if it goes on.
But if it goes on, I address it.
Yeah.
I got to be more aware of that because I don't even pay attention to that.
Says the guy who's traveling with his own videographer.
that's a funny story, Mike. That reminds me. One time on the Riviera.
Dwayne's changed. I may be from Oak Brook, but
in my mind, I currently reside in Oak Brook.
I went to the Gabriel Iglesias show, and they literally said there's 13,000 people there. Said if you film the show, I didn't figure out practically how they would handle that.
Police,
you will be kicked out if you film the show. I'm like, there's so many people here.
That was like a big old bluff.
I don't know.
They're
handing out those lock
bags.
Packets, the lock bags. Someone said they're doing something similar to that at the Improv now in Los Angeles. And the first time I saw that, Dave Chappelle did that. That was the first I ever heard of those bags.
Aziz did it on his tour too.
Really?
Recently.
A couple years ago, I did a show in Pasadena at the Ice House, and Chris was on the show. Chris Rock.
Right.
And before the show, they made everybody put the phones. And that's the first time I ever saw it in that bag. They wanted to put. They told me to put my phone in. I was like, I'm on the show.
You can't tell me my phone in a bag.
Chris and I passed auditions at Catch a Rising Star in New York on the same night.
Wow.
Has he done anything since?
That's why I know
you from. That's how far back. I went to San Francisco in the beginning of 87, so I know you from 85 and 86. Yes.
Okay, let's not put numbers on anybody because I'm going to tell you how long I've known
Dwayne. I know
Dwayne.
You from last Thursday is what I'm trying to tell you.
Let's take a break here. More conversation with my guests in the studio. We have Mike Dugan, whose show at Stage 773 is Men Fake Foreplay. Where do people go for ticket information?
You can go to the website. You can go to all of the ticket outlets have it, but go to the website or go to the box office or call or hit me up.
Visit stage773.com for information. You can also visit zanies.com to see Dwayne performing at the Rosemont Zanies. A great entertainment district over there. Yes. You can go get something to eat and then go. Actually, they have a really good pizza with prosciutto and arugula. I don't know if you've had that yet. I really like that.
At Zane? Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
They got good bar food.
They do have really good bar mm-hmm. food.
Oh, as bar food hungry. Goes.
Paul and I are hungry all over again.
I'm not. I
You're
just
not
say,
hungry tonight?
I just say one of everything at Portillo's.
So we're all safe. Oh, that's right. You did. Let's talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Senator Dan Gutowski, the president and CEO of ChildServe. You can go to childserve.org. That's childserv.org for information about the show that Dwayne and I and Rocky LaPorte are doing on May 16th. It's Stand Up for Kids. More after this. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Senator, do you feel a little bit surrounded by comedians?
I do. It makes me really, it's really daunting and overwhelming, and I'm really going to have to...
Really step
go
up
back.
Your game.
I really have to go back and just do what I do well, stay in my lane. But I'd really like to. We're trying it. Like we're trying our best to at ChildServe to use different vehicles to raise awareness so that we can help build better lives for kids. And comedy is a great vehicle for doing that. It's a great vehicle to get people to be talking about issues that they're not necessarily comfortable about talking about. And I think last year we saw that happen at Stand Up for Kids, and this year we're really excited about it because I think we have a bigger theater. We have 200 people. We've sold about 80 tickets so far.
That's pretty good for a month out.
We have four weeks to go.
Yeah,
we've raised about 13,000.
Wow. How many tickets do you have left?
120.
Oh, wow. Okay.
120, yeah.
That's good.
We'll do pretty well.
And now you've had more time to work on your jokes that that are going to be great.
You know, we're trying. No. Yeah,
he already said he was daunted.
Daunted is a big word.
I think you're going to.
I have to look up daunted when I get home. I think it's a big word.
Intimidated. It's bigger.
Intimidated. Yeah. Well, that's more. Yeah. Syllables. Yes.
And Paul Farvar and I are appearing. He reminded me, and I apologize to our friends at H Foundation. We're going to be at the Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove performing with Tim Kavanaugh. We'll be there. Pete McMurray will be there. Me and you. And
at 7 o'clock.
And Jim Peterik.
Jim Peterik. Yeah. From. Survivor.
Oh, he wrote Eye of the Tiger.
Is he? How's he doing?
He's doing great.
He's surviving?
Yeah, he's surviving.
Okay. All right.
So you can go to hfoundation.org for ticket information. And so that is tomorrow night. So that is the closest one.
What's the H Foundation?
H Foundation, they're an organization that helps raise funds for cancer research. It's all science-based. And they've raised millions of dollars by doing these comedy shows and the Goomba event. Which we'll find out more
about.
Isn't
that funny that you would actually have to use the words that's science based? You know?
How much is
like that's like a novel concept, right?
I know.
Yeah.
As opposed like
faith based
cancer research.
If you're in cancer research, it's science.
Here, hold this snake.
I'm assuming that it's
Pentecostal
it's
cancer solutions. Here, put your hand on this bot. Hold this root. Uh-oh.
That's my...
Oh, well.
We just spend $100,000 on this bot. I guess we should stick to the science base.
That's
it's encouraged.
That's my favorite slam that you get. They call it clueless academia. Have you ever heard that phrase? Uh-oh. Clueless academia. Yeah, it's the guys with the master's degrees and the doctorates who don't know anything. Joe the plumber, he's the guy you got to turn to.
Oh, gosh, remember that whole debacle?
I forgot about Joe the plumber.
Yes.
Where is he now?
He's plumbing still.
Is he still plumbing? Yeah.
He let us in tonight.
I just came.
I just donated
$20 to his GoFundMe page.
Well, there was a welder.
He's trying to buy a refrigerator.
There was a welder on Pat Quinn's to help Pat Quinn get elected in 2010.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had a welder commercial, and this guy really likes the governor. We should vote for him.
So
not that there's anything wrong with it, but it's like you got people like that. It's like hey, really a strong connection. And
how much has campaigning changed in your estimation compared to Lori Lightfoot? Who would have seen that campaign? Really taking Chicago by storm, and she would win 75% of the voters.
It's amazing how there's there can suddenly become even more of a tidal wave that can be generated by just through social media and through connecting with people that way.
Right.
And that it's not, you know, a lot of it was like bricks and mortar, door to door, getting the vote out.
Right.
And still that's essential, but suddenly something can change, like where the previous election for president, the person who currently occupies the White House was going out there and just going to places.
Is that what we're calling it now?
Yeah.
And he just didn't have like a he didn't have like a massive field operation, which is kind of like contradicts everything you know about the history of politics. Like, you got to get out people, get them out to vote. You're like, they'd go to these events and they, you know, get messages and they'd show up. And yeah, you know, I mean, I was someone who knocked on doors for 2 years straight. Nonstop, 4 to 5 hours a day, 6 to 7 hours on Saturday, and 5 hours on Sunday, except if the Bears are playing, because you'd lose votes if you knocked on doors and the Bears are playing. I'm telling you, you could knock on the door of a church and people are like, come in later. But Bears are like, get the heck off my front lawn. Right. But it's kind of this phenomenon of how people are able to connect directly to voters through social media and through other means. It's like, this is all, it was a tidal wave in this recent mayoral election. Yeah. And you could see that. But, you know, when President Obama, he had a great combination of both how dynamic he was and the energy he brought to it, but he had an unbelievable field operation, too. So he had a combination of the two. He understood that. And I'm not saying that grassroots isn't as important as it used to be, but you just see this. You're like, wow, there's just like, you know, I thought that the mayoral race would have been closer, and it wasn't.
It wasn't at all. And what do you think about the idea that elections that are won by just not that other guy that's been there, like Pritzker kind of, I mean, Pritzker, as much as he might have won regardless, but he kind of won because people didn't want Rauner anymore. In my ward, it was anyone but Arena. I don't even know what my new alderman stands for, except that everyone wanted just not Arena. How much does, whether we, you know, this was not the machine, was pretty much what a lot of people wanted with Lori Lightfoot. Do you think that carries forward with the President of the United States?
Actually, I think the same message that carried Trump into the White House was kind of like this throw the bums out mentality, and that change the culture in D.C. and we're this is business as usual, is the same message that is carrying through with a lot of people, regardless of their political party. We're new, we're different, we're outsiders. The people there who
not been, outside enough.
Yeah, I know, but like the people still think that, like, it's almost become like a negative to have experience in government,
right?
Because they've worked for like decades to really dismantle this perception of government. And to say that people in government, the people in government are corrupt, or people in government aren't looking out for your needs. And a lot of them weren't. Yeah, you know, they weren't, and they don't, nobody else to blame but themselves. But that's like it's become, if you've actually been in government for a long time, you're like, well, why did I vote for you? You've been in government. You're a part of the problem. And so if someone comes in, like, you know, I was a dog catcher for, you know, or I, you know what I mean, or I was you know, I was like, I'll get you. You're gonna be good, because you're at least you're not part of the whole machine there.
I used to do a joke about that, man, about how politics is the only profession where you tout how inexperienced you are, how unqualified you are to be in politics. Nobody else does that. Nobody says, I want to be your brain surgeon, and I've never gone to college, and I want to be your brain surgeon.
It's the only profession also where they announce that they're going to make an announcement.
What were you going to say, Paul?
No, it's funny that you said brain surgeon, because then everyone was talking about a brain surgeon who once ran for president. They're like, oh, well, he's a brain surgeon. He's going to be great. My brother is a brain surgeon, and he didn't know what a mortgage was, so I had to tell him what it was. I was like, no, you don't want a brain surgeon to operate the government. It's a true story.
It's true.
I just don't know if the idea for change, because I had guests on my panel a couple weeks ago. We only talk about politics typically on Friday nights, but you guys are here and it's kind of fun. But because I can't do it every day. But, you know, these guys were talking about how it doesn't matter who the candidate is on the Democratic ticket as long as it's not Trump, you know, in the office going forward. But I don't think that's enough. I don't think that that's an argument, is just not Trump. I think that, you know, they have a lot to stand on, which is the economy, and jobs have been added. I think that they're, you know, I don't know if the not that guy is going to work at the national level. I don't think so. I think he's winning.
We just touched on this just for a moment earlier. What did you hear about Marianne Williamson?
I'd heard that a friend of mine showed me a video of her thoughts on reparations and what the implications are there, and what it means to, you know, go back and see how much of the impact that history has on our, you know, 400 or 500 years. Right, we can't just act as though, well, now everything's okay. And also, you were talking about her plan for a children's department, right?
Yeah, U.S. Department of Children,
right.
Because, you know, if you can't take care of the kids, what's your future anyway? And the kids, like 40% of the kids live in, like, the schools are funded by the local community. So if the most schools, yeah. And so if the local community doesn't have any money, that's the schools it's they're getting.
The ultimate judgment. We judge our country by how we treat our children.
Yeah.
And what we've allowed them to grow up in, and the violence, regardless of the communities, is just I create just to have we recently buried one of our children in our care, and we went to a funeral, and it was just so so sad.
Yeah.
And he's 17 years old, and he had never worn a suit. And all his mom wanted was for him to wear a suit in his casket.
Oh, my God.
That's all she wanted. Never wore one, owned one. And to me, I was like, this is just, to me, the way we should be looking at our country right now, are we placing kids above all else, right? You know, what are we doing to make sure kids are protected, they're safe, they have every opportunity to have the best life possible? And it's just, it's horrible to me that it continues to happen. It's like we had one child. I call him a child because if he was my child, I'd still call him a child, right? You're a child forever. And he was 17. Then a week later, we had an 18-year-old. He was shot 3 times. He survived. Oh. And so, but the point here is like when I look at, there are so many important issues right now, and you need people who actually understand how to move the levers of government, who've actually passed policy, who understand policy, who understand data and research, who can bring this stuff together and build relationships. And then we like people like, you know, I'm going to run, you know, and I could be president. And it's like, well, that's great. But like, what do you actually know about moving something from point A to point B? I think that's, you know, essential. And it's a serious conversation. And I think that's kind of the thing that's happened. It's like, if I'm going to say, and I'm going to be bombastic, I'm going to say whatever it is, I'm going to be provocative, but am I really, like, am I interested in you and your family and making sure you are able to, like, have the kind of life that you deserve to have? And that, to me, that's the central thing.
That's the message that Marianne Williamson has. It's really phenomenal if you watch some of the stuff. I'm not going to push her any further, but...
He's a big fan.
But, yeah she just has this analysis of it in a historical perspective and has all the interrelated systems that work in the world, and she can bounce back and forth and tell you exactly... I mean, it's really phenomenal to listen to her. She's brilliant.
They've got some... A lot of those candidates have good ideas. The Democrats, Buttigieg, I like.
A lot of people do. A lot of people are fascinated.
Is it Buttigieg? Buttigieg?
Buttigieg. Buttigieg. The boot.
Yeah. We just need science-based candidates. I think that's what we're learning here. Science-based candidates.
And,
read humans.
What's his name? Is it Tim Yang? What's his name?
Mm-hmm. I saw him giving a speech as well. He has a son who has autism.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he was talking about how
entrepreneur
guy. Yeah, he was talking about how we need to, not act as though this is a specialized department because the population is growing at a rate where it's part of the curriculum. We take into account what do these kids need on an individual basis.
And he's pushing a universal income where every citizen gets like $1,000. Well, like they did with the oil in Alaska, he wants the information, the tech companies, because they're getting all this money out of the economy,
right.
Mm-hmm. And everybody's getting poorer, and so everybody should get a little bit of profit from what they're doing to raise their lifestyle a little bit. I don't know how he would execute that, but
it's hilarious though. He had three things he was pushing. It was universal income. What was the other thing? Something to do with justice, meeting out something profound, and then his third one was like free marriage counseling. I guess you said I want equal justice, universal income. You gotta have three, Tim. You do. And free marriage counseling
and Easter chocolates for everyone.
That's a good idea.
Pastoral wrappers.
Yeah. No. Me and my, we're going through some things.
It's all in the house. More
that's
for
someone
this.
Who doesn't have a big kitchen cabinet. Right? Yeah. They're like, what?
Right.
Yeah. We'll wrap it up in just a moment on 720 WGN. You listen to the Patty Raskin Show. We're having fun. Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around. Okay, everybody in the studio who didn't already know this, I was so convinced this is Macy Gray, and it's Tracy Chapman. I should, you know what, I actually knew that.
The best was that I wasn't even going to question you. I knew you wouldn't know that, right?
I'm disappointed, Patty.
Why are you disappointed?
Come on.
Patty doesn't know
anything. Vivian, have you not been?
I know. Yes, I have.
It's appalling.
But I thought that you would know this one at least.
Dwayne,
I'm Luca. I live on the second floor.
Dwayne, who I've known for my entire career, I don't know this would ever come up in conversation. I have an appalling lack of musical knowledge.
It's true.
No, it's bad. It's really bad.
And by the way, last night I was listening, and I didn't catch the part what Nick DiGilio's thoughts were of my appalling lack of musical knowledge. But Vic Vaughn admitted that he has a not necessarily, I'm guessing, as vastly vacuous,
appalling
lack of musical knowledge. But he seemed to commiserate with my status. But I was so convinced. I was like, oh, I know this one. And
the best are the guesses when Patty guesses an artist that 99% of society knows what it is and she doesn't get it right. Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin.
Right.
She didn't know Kanye West yesterday either, which was pretty funny.
Well, I think that's...
Oh, no.
That was a different...
It was his most popular song, but whatever.
No, it was not. Gold Digger was not Gold Digger, which I think
it
is...
It was the second...
It's pretty
it was,
big.
Yeah,
it's pretty
big.
That's pretty popular, yeah. though.
No, it wasn't Gold Digger, though.
Oh, okay. But you know that song.
The point is that it spans... You know, people under 20 don't know... Maybe they don't know Led Zeppelin or whatnot, but Patty doesn't know anything from the music of the 2000s going back to the
40s. Well, the best description, you said, well, didn't you... We said, Patty... Didn't you listen to music on the way to school? She's like, no, I listened to comedy cassettes.
Oh, really?
Like, who would
George
know?
Carlin, Richard Pryor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Ellen DeGeneres. Okay.
And I have more respect for you.
Yeah.
I mean, I always respect
you. We kind of had a hard time.
But yeah. It was
Carlin on campus. I'm sorry. In Live at the Sunset Strip. What was that?
No, I was going to say, but he's like, oh, I respect Dwayne got it. So he's like, yeah, I still disrespect the whole no music lack part. Of music part. The way you said
but
it.
But you were in focus.
She was focused.
Yeah.
But I didn't find it. I found it believable. But not entirely believable because it's a good story.
I have to find my friends. Comedian. You were here one night when I had a friend of mine from high school. Dan, yes. my friend Dan Z will back me up on how I didn't listen to music. And I had a cassette player.
Like you were in a car with other friends and
yeah.
there was other
Make
music
them listen
playing.
To George Carlin. You will listen to this list of dirty words.
Did you, oh, wow, did okay. you like sing? Did you sing songs like with your friends? Like, hey, where the song's on? Like,
I'll sing. Yeah
like, sing.
Campfire songs from the Girl Scouts.
True story.
It was like,
the other day, I saw a bear, a great bear.
It's shocking.
Hey, I saw Uh-oh. A bear.
And Mike, you made a comment about Luca living on the second floor. We all know what you're talking about.
Susan
but
Vega.
Patty doesn't. Patty Susan didn't Vega. Know what that was. Which is even
She's
more
like,
fun.
Who's Luca? Was he
Dwayne's
a friend?
Dwayne's trying to assess the magnitude of this lack of knowledge, and it'll unfold. As
Follow
we
it on Instagram. I have documented very well on my Instagram stories.
Is that right?
Oh yeah, Guns N' Roses came on. That was my most favorite part, where she goes, "This I know what this is. This is Axl Rose and the Guns," which was like the. It's like that's actually a good cover name.
That would have been good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least she didn't say UB Blake.
Yeah. Who's UB Blake? Who's UB Blake?
He's
whatever.
Just forget it.
He's before everybody's time. Yeah.
Now you'd be 40.
Now
this is the Sugar Hill Gang, Patty.
The distinction right. is though that if there's a movie about like I know most of the Doors songs because there was a movie about the Doors.
Oh, and now Queen,
I know because of Bohemian Rhapsody, and then Rocket Man is coming out. And although I think I know a lot of Billy. I'm sorry. Elton John.
Yeah,
Billy John. He was a cowboy too.
Right.
There's a cowboy version of Rocket Man, right. Billy John.
Oh man, I was thinking because I was looking at this button. That's why I was getting it wrong.
Oh, there's Billy Elton John. Yeah,
it's Billy Joel.
Just kidding.
Yeah, right. That's Elton John.
Who's good? Now you're screwed.
It's Billy John.
Oh, the name Joel. Billy Jean crossovers are better.
What song is that the intro to, Patty?
I have it right
she
in front of me,
it in
so
front
it's
of
cheating.
Her.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. I just push that button. That's all. So that, there
come
you go.
On.
See, let me see if I can find.
But
how
we have.
How about this, Senator? Do you know this, Senator? Do you know this? Everybody? I don't.
No, I don't.
I know it is. John Mayer. All right, Patty, here, I got one for
that's
you.
That's soft. You're soft. John Mayer. That's how you know that.
I don't know, and I'm so glad soft. I don't know.
We already said I lived in Oak Brook. What don't you understand?
John Mayer. Yuck. Uh-oh.
The world is a vampire.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Patty, who is this?
That's my cut, actually.
I like this song a lot.
Patty,
I've heard it
just
before.
Take a guess. Come on. Anything.
No,
5 seconds.
I can't.
Four.
Human
three.
League.
Human League.
I thought
Human League.
Human League.
It's great.
No, it's not the same thing.
That's Curtis Mayfield. That's
Elvin Bishop.
Is it
Elvin
Bishop. Jane's
Dan,
Addiction?
You know who that is? Dan doesn't know.
Is
actually.
It Jane's Addiction? That would be.
Otis Redding. That's Otis Redding. No, it wasn't Jane's Addiction, but that's closer. At least it's the same.
How about Judas Priest? No.
Rhymes with Crashing Umpkins.
Smashing Pumpkins.
Is it really? That's a Smashing Pumpkins song?
That's not a popular Smashing Pumpkins
that's
song.
That's a good song.
That's one of their most popular songs.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Not XRT.
Bullet Bullet with Butterfly
what was that
Wings.
Song that's with right, the deep bass.
Just now? Okay. Judas Priest, Pumpkins, right?
Yeah. I love this song.
He did a great album called Swan.
Billy Corgan?
And he hates it. It was
was called Swan.
Yeah, but it was great. It was awesome.
Petty
and he hates it. He won't even talk about it.
Swan.
Yeah.
I got no shame in this game. I don't mind.
What the heck?
These folks were in town over the weekend, weren't they?
All this talk of Smashing
anybody?
Pumpkins.
I wouldn't be able to guess it either. I just know.
Muse.
Yep. They were in town this week.
See, now you know your stuff.
That's why I was a
I can actually see.
You're totally out there.
What you're playing, so you're I could have totally won this. I'm like Muse.
Paulie's going on a date, so I can totally tell. This is Muse.
Oh, that's what I was talking about.
You're just mad that I know
that's
everything.
What we were going to talk about. You went on a date tonight and took them to Portillo's.
Really?
No, that's not a
on
date.
On a date? How'd that work up
so
now
earlier
that you're at the radio
station? No, this is over. How can I end this relationship that I just started?
In one minute.
Portillo's.
Get her a cheeseburger.
Nothing says it's over like large fries.
Large cheese fries.
Cheese fries. That's one thing I don't like.
Oh, those are good.
No, I like to take people who haven't been to Portillo's and get one of everything. And you get a little of everything, and then you just have gluttony for the rest of your life. But it's an amazing thing. Have you ever had everything at Portillo's in one sitting?
Not everything.
It's kind of a big menu.
A lot of stuff, man.
I didn't get the ribs, and I didn't get the salad.
The strawberry salad's really good. The strawberry walnut salad.
We got like the main dishes, we got the chocolate cake shake, which is amazing.
Gosh, I'm hungry now.
Yeah.
I know. You do this to us at the end of every show.
I'm not hungry.
Seriously.
One time I'm not hungry.
I know, because you just ate everything on the menu at Portillo's.
That's true.
And the only
half
thing,
of it.
The only
half
thing left open between here and my ride home is McDonald's on Ontario. That's all I got.
We've stopped there before.
Yeah, we have. Yeah. I like
there.
Is that the former Rock and Roll McDonald's that now looks like a giant bunker?
Yeah.
It used to be rock. It used to be festive, man. Yeah. Now it's all grim and dystopian.
It is.
That's perfect
a great
word
description.
For it.
Nice adjective.
Bulletproof glass on the counter.
Yes.
It's all gray. Who thought of that new design?
They're filming the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
The next one over there.
This is a post-apocalyptic nuclear McDonald's.
Yeah. Man, dystopian and post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
In one
but we'll take your sponsorship dollars anytime you want to join.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yes.
No.
Who's sponsoring our science-based show tomorrow? By the way.
Yeah.
I don't even believe in radio waves.
That's a Mike
Deep State.
That's Mike Dugan. He's performing at Stage 773. Men Fake Foreplay: An Exploration to the Male Psyche, and it's a hilarious and necessary performance.
Thank you very much.
And we'll see you again before you leave town.
Yeah.
Dwayne Kennedy is performing at Zanies in Rosemont. You can go to zanies.com, and he's going to be joining me at Greenhouse Theater on May 16th for a performance for Stand Up for Kids with ChildServe. Go to childserve.org for more information. Paul Farvar and I tomorrow night at Tivoli Theater for the H Foundation. We're raising money for science-based medical research.
Comedy for cancer. Yeah.
Comedy for cancer.
P. McMurray, Tim Kavanaugh, and Jim Petterick.
Excellent. It'll be a fun evening. It's a lot. It's a lot of stuff. I should put that in writing somewhere. More in a moment. We'll turn it over to Nick D. What do you say?
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Thanks for coming.